First Kings chapter 1 and verse 5 is our text for today. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen, and 50 men to run before him. Who was Nehemiah speaking about when he said there was no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel? Nehemiah 13, verse 26. This same king of whom Nehemiah spoke wrote 3 Old Testament books and had 2 Psalms written to him. When he was born, he was given 2 names. The name that he is better known by means peaceable. His lesser known name, Jedidiah, means beloved of the Lord. And the man who was given these names was, for the most part of his life, a wonderful type of the person of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure you know that we are referring to Solomon, the second son of David and Bathsheba. He is the writer, of course, of those 3 Old Testament books, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Songs, also known as the Song of Solomon. And the 2 Psalms that were written to him, Psalm 72 and Psalm 127. He became the 3rd king of Israel after his father's death. But his ascending to Israel's throne was not without incident, as we see from the opening chapter of 1 Kings. Adonijah was the 4th son of David and Haggith. He was born in Hebron, 1 Chronicles 3 and verse 2. Amnon and Absalom, David's 1st and 3rd sons, were now dead. And his 2nd, Chileab, was not mentioned since his birth and may also have died. Adonijah, as the eldest living son, aspired to the throne of Israel. He did not want Solomon to be his king, and certainly did not want Solomon to reign on the throne. He aspired to the throne. And so I want to look at the events which prepared the way for Solomon to be Israel's 3rd king. And over the next few weeks, I want to look at the life of Solomon. As I said, in the early part of his life, he was a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we examine the life of Solomon, may we see much of Christ in him. But we must look first of all at this man, Adonijah, the brother of Solomon. And I want first of all to begin by considering Adonijah and his desire. Adonijah and his desire. Adonijah suddenly appears upon the scene. And he did so when his father David was ailing in health and was not far from death. That's when Adonijah makes his appearance. I suppose he thought that he would seize the opportunity to make his bid for the throne. There are some lessons we might learn from this individual that we may safeguard against. He's certainly not an example to follow, because we see, first of all, his arrogance. He was a very arrogant individual. We see that from the verse 5. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. There's his arrogance. They say that first impressions last. Well, here we have the first impression we have of Adonijah. And he certainly left a lasting impression, because we see, first of all, the first thing we find out about him is he wanted to exalt himself. We've seen his arrogance. But notice, when he exalted himself, the verse begins with the words, "then." Then Adonijah. And if you read the opening verses of this chapter of 1 Kings, you will discover that David was ailing in health. He was an old man now. And not many days hence, he would pass into the presence of the Lord. Then Adonijah exalted himself. Adonijah decided to take advantage of the situation and make his bid for the throne. Here was a man who was full of himself. Here was a man who was full of pride. Here was a man who knew very little about the virtue of humility. He exalted himself. It is a dangerous thing for anyone to be so self-centered and seek to exalt themselves. That was a bitter lesson which the Lord taught to Moab. If you turn to Obadiah, there in the opening verses of Obadiah, we read in verse 3, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee," speaking to Moab. "The pride of thine heart," or Edom, sorry, "the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, that thou dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground?" Verse 4. "Though thou exalt thyself," as Adonijah did, "though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord." And there was Edom, and he exalted himself and set himself, as it were, among the stars of heaven. Yet the Lord said, "I will bring thee down." We think of Demetrius that we read about in 3 John there in verse 9. Demetrius, we are told, was one who loveth to have the preeminence. Loveth to have the preeminence. Adonijah was a man who loved to have the preeminence. He exalted himself. But as we will see in our study of the life of Solomon, the Lord brought Adonijah down. Let us remember then the words of the Savior. For we read in Luke 14 and verse 11, For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So it's not up to us to exalt ourselves. That's what the Lord does. And he that exalteth himself shall be abased, shall be brought down. As well as his arrogance, we also have his ambition. You see, the Lord God of Israel had already chosen a man to succeed David as king, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 5. God had chosen Solomon. But Adonijah had a burning ambition to occupy the throne instead of Solomon. And look at what he said in verse 5 of 1 Kings 1. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. These words are an echo of what another once said. One who wanted the throne of heaven and wanted to occupy that throne instead of Christ. If you turn to the book of Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah, and there in Isaiah 14, we read of one who basically said the same thing as Adonijah. Isaiah 14, now we read in verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Adonijah was simply echoing those words. I will be king. In spite of the fact that God had already chosen the king. But Adonijah did not want Solomon to be his king. He did not want to have to look upon Solomon sitting there upon the throne. And why does that remind us of something else? What did Pilate say to those who wanted to crucify Christ? Pilate said, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." They would not acknowledge or recognize Christ as king, just as Adonijah did not plan to acknowledge Solomon as ruler of Israel. And like those in the parable of the noble man who said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." And Adonijah was saying the same thing, "I will not have this man to reign over me." You know, there are Christians who say the same thing. There are those who will not have Christ to reign in their lives. They want to do their own thing. They want to set their own standards. They want to go their own way. And they say, "We will not have this man to reign over us." If we adopt that attitude, we're being like Adonijah. I will be king. Let us instead, as we often sing, may Christ our King, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Let us be those loyal subjects that the Lord our King expects us to be. Arrogance, he exalted himself. His ambition, he said, I will be king. We notice also his activity. We look again at that verse 5. That Adoniah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. I wondered if he learned this from his brother Absalom. Because you recall, Absalom wanted the throne as well. And Absalom would have gone so far as to slay his own father that he might occupy the throne. And in preparation for putting that plan into practice, Absalom did exactly the same thing, had his chariots and had 50 men to run before him, 2 Samuel 15 and verse 1. He followed Absalom's example. He wanted, like Absalom, to make people believe that he indeed was the king of Israel. Even as Nathan said. Later on, he spoke to Bathsheba and said, you better go and see your husband because, look at verse 13 of 1 Kings 1, why then doth Adoniah reign? So in the eyes of the people, in the minds of the people, Adoniah was already king. That's what he had planned. So like Absalom, he put on quite a show. He exalted himself. He said, I will be king. He's not a very desirable individual. Fleshly individual. Self-centered individual. Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 12, as many as desire to make a fair show of the flesh. And that's exactly what Adoniah did. A fair show. The word show there that Paul uses means to have a good appearance. Adoniah put on a good appearance. Let us be careful that we don't put on just a good appearance. Why we're not really, our hearts are not really in tune with the Lord. Many can put on a good appearance. They can make a show of the flesh. But they will not have Christ to be their king. They will not have Christ to rule in their lives. As was said, they will do their own thing, just like Adoniah. He sets an example that no one should want to follow. As well as Adoniah and his desire, we have Adoniah and his deception. As we follow this man, we see how he developed and maintained this pretense. I could call him the great pretender. That's what he was. We've already seen he pretended to be king. He pretended by his preparing him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before. It all looked good. He was the great pretender. Notice his appearance. Before we told about his appearance, we are informed that David had not chastened this man, Adonai, or corrected him when he stepped out of line. Look at verse 6 of 1 Kings 1. And his father had not displeased him, had not chastened him or corrected him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? In other words, when Adonai did something wrong, his father David did not chastise him. His father David didn't chasten him and say to him, why did you do that? Why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. The word displeased. His father had not displeased him. The word displeased there means to grieve. It means to make sorry. When a child is chastened, well, they're sorry for doing wrong. They are indeed displeased. They are grieved because they feel the pain of being chastened. But David never once chastened Adonai. It would appear that David spoiled him. And we see the result. This is how Adonai turned out. Adonai exalted himself. He hadn't been taught about humility. He hadn't been taught about what it was to be humble. He had never been chastened. Solomon himself wrote, evidently he had been chastened as a child, because he later wrote in Proverbs 19, verse 18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying, for his displeasure. Chasten thy son while there is hope. There was no point in David chastening Adonai now. It was too late. This was the man who said, I will be king, and put in to practice a plan to keep his own brother from the throne and to keep God's own chosen king from the throne. It was too late now to chasten him. Just as Eli had not chastened his sons, and we know how they turned out to be wicked, immoral individuals. Solomon again said in Proverbs 3 and verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. And we being the children of the Lord will chasten us. Why? Because he loves us. The Lord only chastens those whom he loves. Those whom he does not chasten are not his children. He only chastens his own. And he only chastens those whom he loves. Why does he chasten us? That we might turn out right. That we might turn out like himself. We want to be Christ-like, don't we? And when we step out of line and do that which is not Christ-like, what does the Lord do? He'll chasten us to bring us into line again. Well, for Adonijah, it was too late. The days of chastening were over. But as we look at his appearance, we notice he had a good appearance. That's what it says. There in verse 6, question is asked, or his father had not displeased him at any time, and saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man. Now you might say, well, there's a contradiction there. Here's this individual who says he was going to be king. This individual who exalted himself. This individual who knew nothing about humility. Couldn't very well say he was a good man. But the word goodly applies to his appearance, to his countenance. That's what the word is used there for. Same word is used of Moses as a child. You recall Moses 2, verse 2. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. When she saw that he was a good-looking child, when she saw that he was a handsome child, that's the context of the word here with regard to Adonijah. He was goodly. In other words, he was good-looking. He was a handsome man. And Adonijah must have been after his father in good looks, because we read in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 20 regarding David, and he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. So Adonijah had taken his good looks from his father, but that was about all. He certainly didn't follow his father's footsteps in other things. And we know that looks can be deceiving. And that certainly was the case with Adonijah. Because while on the outside, to the eye of men, he was fair, but inside was a different matter. Remember what the Lord said to the Pharisees? These words could be applied to Adonijah, the man who didn't want Solomon to be king. The Lord said to the Pharisees, ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortions and excess. All the old Pharisees had a pleasant appearance on the outside as they walked through the streets in their long flowing robes and stood on street corners and wanted everybody to see them pray. They had that outward appearance in the eyes of men that was good, but within they were full of dead men's bones, as the Lord said. And they were ungodly men. And here's Adonijah, and he had that beautiful countenance. Everything looked good on the outside, but inside, he was unclean and corrupt, and he was evil, because this was an evil plan that he had. Tell you something else. He not only had a goodly appearance, he had a godly appearance, believe it or not. He had a godly appearance. What do we read there in verse 9? And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth. Why was he slaying the sheep and the fat cattle and the oxen? To offer sacrifices. to the Lord. See, he's keeping up the appearance. He's the great pretender. Did the same as Absalom did. Absalom said that he wanted to go to Jerusalem to pay his vow. And he wanted to go and serve the Lord. Can you believe that? There's Absalom in 2 Samuel 15, verses 7 to 10. And there's Absalom talking about he wanted to serve the Lord. And all the while he was planning the downfall of his father. Would have gone as far as taking the life of his own father. He had that outward appearance. Oh, I'm going to serve the Lord. Oh, I'm going to Jerusalem to pay my vows. And here's Adonijah. Oh, I'm going to offer sacrifices to God. He was living a lie. You take his name, Adonijah. You know what Adonijah means? It means Jehovah is my Lord. Nothing could have been further from the truth. Jehovah is my Lord. And yet Jehovah was not his Lord. But he just kept up the appearance. He was the great pretender. How many live that life? There they are. And they have the outward appearance of being Christians. They have the outward appearance of, as Absalom said, I'm going to serve the Lord. They have the outward appearance, but inside is a very different matter. We notice not only his appearance. Notice his associates. Who he associated with. To bolster his bid for the throne, we see who he befriended. Look at verse 7. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, mark the words, the priest. And they, following Adonijah, helped him. We're told who he associated with, who he gathered around him. He knew he could depend on the support of Joab. Joab was the captain of David's army. But he and King David had a strained relationship. And the gap between them widened. When Joab was the man who slew Absalom, David's rebellious son. So Adonijah could depend on Joab's support. And then he had the support there of a priest. Abiathar the priest. Now that would look good, wouldn't it? Here he keeps up the facade. Here he is and he's slaying sheep and oxen and fat cattle to offer sacrifices to the Lord, just like Absalom, who said, I will serve the Lord. While at the same time, he's saying, I will be king. And now he has Joab with him. And now he has Abiathar the priest. Oh, this man, Abiathar, he must be a religious man. He must be very religious. He has Abiathar the priest with them? See, he's keeping up the appearance. He's living the lie. He's not what he appears to be. Oh, he may appear to be religious, but as James speaks about, pure religion is something that is undefiled. Well, the religion of Abiathar was in many ways defiled. He was the great pretender. But let us not be pretenders. We profess to know the Lord. Let us live for the Lord. We say we love the Lord, then let us make the Lord our King. And serve Him. Serve Him with nothing less than our all. King of my life, yes, I crown Thee now. Let us surrender our all to King Jesus. His appearance, His associates, and His attitude. We're told that we can tell a man's character by the company he keeps. Well, we have learned something about Adonijah's company. We also learn about who he didn't want in his company. You go down there to verse 8. But Zadok the priest and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet and Shimei and Rei and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew the sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zahileth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants, but Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah, and the mighty men, and Solomon, his brother, he called not. Nathan, the faithful prophet of God. Benaniah, one of David's officers, and Solomon, David's son, and Adonijah's brother. Didn't want them there. He didn't want the true men of God there. He was happy to have Joab, who didn't like David. He was happy to have a priest to give that good appearance. They were willing to help Adonijah, but he knew he wouldn't get any help from Nathan, Benaniah, or Solomon. The true men of God. And my, how true that is. Those who pretend to love the Lord. Those who pretend to have Christ as their King. They'll feel more comfortable in the company of the ungodly than they will in the company of the true men and women of God. Adonijah didn't want Nathan. Nathan, who went that day to David and said to David, "Thou art the man." Nathan, who was the faithful prophet of God. Benaniah, one of David's officers, as was said. And Solomon, who would be king. Didn't want Israel's future king near him. Adonijah was about to be found out. He had exalted himself. He said, "I will be king." he behaved in such a way to have people believe he was king. He behaved in such a way to have people believe he was a religious man. He had his priest, he had his sacrifices. But he was about to be found out. Just as Moses said to the children of Gad and Reuben, "But if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Well, Adonai was about to be found out, because God's plan would be fulfilled for Israel. Solomon would be king in spite of what Adonai had purposed. We see then Adonai and his discovery. Adonai was most certainly found out, and his wicked scheme brought to naught. This was brought about, first of all, by a protest. A protest. Nathan had learned about Adonai and his evil plan, and he went and informed Bathsheba, who in turn informed David. Together they raised their voices in protest against Adonai. Look there at verse 11. "Wherefore Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Hast thou not heard that Adonai, the son of Haggith, doth reign? And David our Lord knoweth it not? Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son." Nathan believed that if Adonai became king, then Bathsheba and Solomon's life would be under threat. He'd want to remove them. We read then in verse 13, "Go get in unto King David and say unto him, Didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then doth Adonai reign?" In other words, Nathan raised a voice of protest. This cannot be. When we look at Nathan in the light of Adonai's scheming and planning, let us be Nathan's. Let us be Nathan's. Let us be jealous for the honor of our Solomon, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the Lord said once, "A greater than Solomon is here," speaking of himself. Christ is our King. And when we see or hear of anyone rising up against our King, let us raise the voice of protest. When we hear of those denying his virgin birth, his sinless life, his bodily resurrection, let us not be afraid to raise a voice of protest. Let us not be afraid to stand up for Jesus as good soldiers of the cross. That's what Nathan did. He raised a voice against Adonai. Now when you think of Adonai and his professed religion, there's many today. There are many religionists today, and those same religionists deny the virgin birth. There are those who deny the deity of Christ. There are those who deny his miracles. When my wife and I attended an Anglican church before the Lord saved us, the minister in that church denied the miracles of Christ. And there he stood, occupying a pulpit, and had a congregation who came every week to listen to him. He was a real Adonijah. Had that outward appearance, but inside was full of dead men's bones. Well, we did the best thing. We got out. That was our protest, even in our unsaved days. Let us be Nathans in our day, as we would be jealous for the honor and the rights of King Jesus. Let us raise a voice, a protest, when his name is blasphemed, when his deity is denied, when his miracles are scoffed at. After all, we are his loyal subjects, aren't we? He's our king. He's our king. Praise his name. We have the protest. We have the promotion. We go on down the chapter to the verse 29. And there we read in verse 29, and the king swear, Bathsheba has gone in, spoken to King David, her husband, as has Nathan. He has been enlightened. He has been told about what the plans for Adonijah, the plans he had. And we read in verse 29, and the king swear and said, as the Lord liveth, that hath my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon, thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. And you go down to verse 39, and Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. Adonijah's plan was brought to naught. And here, David, the father of Adonijah, exalted his son and put him on the throne. There's a parallel there. God is the father of Jesus Christ. We are his subjects. Let us pray that the Father in heaven will exalt his son. He will exalt his son in all things. He will exalt his son in our lives. He'll exalt his son in our walk. He'll exalt his son in our witness. He'll exalt his son. Let us pray to that end. We live in a world and in a society that seeks to bring down Christ. Let us pray to our Heavenly Father and say, Dear Father, exalt thy Son in this society in which we live. Lift him up. The best way to do that would be through a gracious revival. We can pray to that end, that Christ our King will be exalted. As Paul said in Colossians 1 verse 18, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And our last thought, what about Adonijah now? Now that Solomon's on the throne, now that he has been found out, well, his celebrations came to a very abrupt end. If you look there in verse 46, and also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom. He's been informed. And we read in verse 50, and Adonijah feared, because of Solomon. And arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. That was a sanctuary. He went and laid hold upon the horns of the altar, and it was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he had caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. My, the tables have turned now. Now he's afraid of Solomon. The one who didn't want Solomon in his company. The one whose place he wanted to take. There on the throne of Israel. Does this not remind us of the words of Paul? For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Romans 14:11. And all who will not crown Christ as King, who will not acknowledge Him as King, there's a day coming, listen, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is King. That's what Adonijah had to do. In as many words, he had to bow the knee and he had to confess that Jesus Christ is King. And while we look around us and we see many Adonijahs today, the day is coming when every knee will bow, when every Adonijah will bow and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, that Christ is King of glory. Is Christ King of your life? He has to be Savior before He's sovereign. Do you know Him as Savior? Because if you die as you are, you will be in that crowd, that multitude, who will then bow the knee. If you don't do it now, you will do it then. Bow the knee and acknowledge Christ as King. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God and gracious Father, we bless Thee for the teachings that we receive from Thy Word. Yea, the words of warning. We look at Adonijah, and O Lord, he preaches to us words of warning. This man who exalted himself, this man who would not have Solomon to reign over him, this man who pretended to be a religious man, but this man who had no time for Solomon, O Lord, no time for Thee. O Lord, I pray that we might distance ourselves from the likes of Adonijah. And instead, Lord, we'll be more like our great King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, work in our hearts that we might be more like the Lord, conformed to the image of His person. Lord, be with us now this day. Be with us as we make our way home. Return us again this evening, Lord, to worship Thee and to learn more about the One who is our great King, our great Lord, and our great Savior. Now may the grace of God be our portion. May the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our stay as we part the one from the other. We do ask all these things in our Saviour's wonderful name. Amen.